In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, I want to read to you a passage of scripture that has been entitled The Great Invitation. The Great Invitation. Matthew chapter 11, and I'll begin reading with verse 28. Just read 28 and 29. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you've put resources within our hands that we can support your people on the other side of the planet. God, we'd ask you today that you would just be with us in this service. Help me to make a certain sound that your people might receive the word of God and give them hearts and ears to hear clearly what the Spirit hath to say. Give me the ability to be clear in the ears of your people. We pray it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. This is a very common passage of scripture that no doubt if you're reading your Bible, which you should be, you've probably read this any number of times. "Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden." And at the first takeaway, it seems that it's an invitation for the unsaved world to come to Jesus Christ because he's saying, "Come unto me." And it is that. It is that. But in addition to it being to the unsaved world, the world of sinners, to come to Jesus for salvation, it is also an invitation for the sinning Christian to come to Jesus. Now, when I mention the word sinning Christian, it doesn't mean that you're drinking and smoking and committing fornication. You don't have to be doing those large sins of the flesh. Sin is just simply an attitude of the heart. And how many can admit sometimes your attitude goes a little bit just outside of the box? For me, my definition of sin is when my activity and my actions do not rise to the level of my maturity. When I'm operating less than my level of maturity. It's been 38 years. It's been whatever number of years it is for you. We all know what God has developed in us, but sometimes we don't operate at that level. Can anybody be honest this morning? And so what he's saying then is, "Come unto me, all ye." Now, if you have a King James, you'll notice the word "ye" is italicized. It's not part of the original manuscript. So he's saying, "Come unto me, all." Both the unsaved world and the saved world, Jesus is beckoning us, "Come to me." Simply just come to me. All you that labor, the term labor means to be, it means burden, to be burdened. And it's basically burdens that we put upon ourselves. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden also is burdens, but it's burdens that somebody else puts upon you. It means that you have this load that you're carrying around. It could be wounds self-inflicted from sinful activity, wrong attitudes, wrong mindsets, wrong words, or whatever the case may be. And we sometimes can walk around with this burden upon us. And Jesus is saying, "Come unto me. I will give you rest." Now, it may seem like it's the default. Something happened, we just go to Jesus. But in actuality, it's not the default. It is counterintuitive to have. I know if you went out and got a bunch of hookers, yes, it's pretty obvious you need to come to Jesus. But if you just had an attitude that was not quite right, it's not so obvious that I need to take this to Jesus. And what happens many times in our relationships, in our careers, in our jobs, in our marriages, is the attitude of the heart that it just destroys. It just makes it less than what it really could be. And Jesus is saying in those times that it's an attitude, it's a thought. He's saying, "Come to me. I will give you rest from that thing. But many times we walk week after week, even month after month, with something laying heavy upon us, and we never take it to Jesus because it doesn't rise to the level of what we define as sin. It wasn't smoking or drinking or any of that. But you know, if we're going to grow in Christ, we need to start dealing with that other stuff. The other stuff. The things that it's so easy to say, well, no, that's not just sin. That's just my personality. It's easy to make excuses. It's easy to just play it off. You can live like that and never really address it with the Lord at all because, well, I'm not drinking or smoking or committing adultery, so never just really have to address it at all. Jesus is saying to you and me, come unto me. I will give you rest. We look back at the first family. And we see how counterintuitive it is because of the fall to come running to Jesus. They committed, in fact, it was Eve. First of all, she labored because she inflicted sin upon herself. Satan burdened her with the sin that she inflicted upon herself. She immediately went to Adam and she burdened Adam with his sin, and then he burdened himself with the same sin. And when God comes into the garden and says, Adam, where art thou? They didn't come to Jesus. They didn't come to the Lord. They ran. They hid. And listen, find this in yourself. That is in you. That desire to just, I just don't want to deal with this before the Lord. And I can tell you, after walking with him 38 years, I have gone to the Lord 10,000 times with hot tears. God, I've done this thing again. I've fallen short again. God, Lord, I'm here again. And it's somewhat humiliating, but there is nothing between me and God. There is nothing. Now, unlike David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba, murdered Uriah the Hittite, and said nothing to God for up to 18 months, just walked in it. I bring everything to Jesus. And here's what I found is that the sooner that you will bring it to Jesus, the less of an impact. He will truly give you rest. Now, I'm going to admit something this morning, and I think you've probably been here. Many of you probably have been to the same, in the same place. I woke up and I could just feel something was off. I was agitated on the inside. Nobody had said anything to me. Nobody had done anything wrong, but I was just agitated. And my wife she said something, just normal talk. And it agitated me even more. And I knew it was me. She did nothing wrong. The world did nothing wrong. It was all inside of here. Can anybody help me here? And immediately, I didn't wait until my mouth started messing up. I didn't wait until I did something I had to apologize for. Immediately, I began to deal with God. Lord, I don't know what this is. I'm agitated on the inside. Nobody's done anything to me. It's all me. What's wrong with me? And in just a few short moments, that thing dissipated and it was gone. Saints, there is value in bringing it to Jesus. And don't wait till tomorrow. Bring it now. Bring it now. Come unto me, all you that labor and are burdened. I will give you rest. I will break that thing off of you. But it's so easy for us not to come to Jesus. Adam and Eve, they hid. They took off into the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord. He's calling to them, where are you? They made a beeline for the trees of the garden and they hid themselves. And then when God finally coaxed them out from behind a tree and said, what have you done? What's going on here? They lied. First they hid, then they lied, then they accused everybody, insomuch that Adam said, God, if you hadn't given me this woman, rather than just bringing it to the Lord and say, God, this is a big mess. This is a big mess that we have here. See, the point is that they were looking at themselves. They were looking at how far they had fallen, how badly they had messed up, but they were not looking at the graciousness of God. And many times we don't come to the Lord as fast as we ought to because we seem to focus more on ourselves than we focus on His goodness. As I said, I've been to Him 10,000 times over and again, and He has never cast me out. He's always been gracious. He's always been loving. He's never upbraided me, and He's not upbraided you either. But the point is that we have to come to Him. We have to lay it all on the line. We see this in John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus is speaking to God's people of that day. And He tells them, search the Scripture. Chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life. That's God's complaint against the human race. See, we're willing to do everything else. Oh, you mean I just got to read this book? I'll read it. I just got to go to church? I'll go to church. I just got to jump through do these religious calisthenics? I'll do them. But Jesus said, no, you don't have to do anything. Come to me. We have a great high priest that touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, but we don't do it. We live with it. We just live with it. We just live with it. We have no plan. No plan of action. Other than I can't let anybody know that this is going on. I got to hide this from everybody. And you can do that if you want to, but don't hide it from Jesus. Because you can't. He already knows. And sometimes when I approach God, that's how I come. Lord, you already know. You already know what I have done or not done, or what I have said, or how I have acted, or whatever that it is. And God, I'm tired of myself. I need the final fix. Now, I don't consider myself mature, but I am miles past where I was when I started. But I'm saying, God, can we move this thing forward? There seems to be a lot of brokenness left. And God, I want to be like you are. Saints, that can only happen with an open dialogue. When I grew up, I had a father in the house. My biological father, he was there. And of course, people my age, for the most part, their fathers were in the home until I was 18 years old. I left at 18. He was still there. And so I know what it is to have a father. I know the strength. I know the support. I know what that is. And so there's one scripture here in Isaiah that is always, or I think it's in, yes, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. And this is how I see God. I see Him just waiting on me to get there. And I walk in and I'm crying, but I know that I can come because He said, come boldly, come confidently. And I see my Heavenly Father say, come, sit. Let us reason together. That term reason, it means to have an open dialogue, a two-way dialogue. It means that you can talk to Him. He's your Heavenly Father. You can tell Him everything that you would tell nobody else. You can admit what's broken about you. And that's how you get fixed. As long as you play it off, God will play it off with you. But sooner or later, you be sure. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. See, you don't have to suffer a broken marriage. You don't have to have brokenness in your work relationships. You don't have to have brokenness in any relationship. Because Jesus said, come unto me. I will give you rest. We have to resist the Adamic nature, which is that nature within us that wants to hide. You know why sinners don't come to church? Because they're hiding. You know why the nightclub turns off all the lights? It's because they're hiding. When people do whatever their sin is, the first thing you do, what? Man, I don't want nobody to know that. I need to cover this up. When Cain killed his baby brother, he hid the body. So it's the natural reaction that we have because of the Adamic nature that we hide. But God is saying, no, come. Come. He's opened the doors of heaven. Let us have an open dialogue. Unless we think that he's going to scold us, he said, though your sin be red as crimson, I'll make it white as wool. And though it be red like scarlet, I'll make it whiter than snow. But it all hinges on our willingness to come to him. As a matter of fact, he said, if we confess our sin, because he knew that it's not the default for us to confess. He said, if, not when, if you would just humble yourself down and admit how messed up you are. That's what I had to do. I had to get to the place, drop the pride. God, you see everything I'm doing. I'm not fooling nobody. And Lord, I need some help. I got some real problems. How many can admit problems in your personality? And I look over the years, he's helped me immensely. He's helped me to a great degree. But there are still those times, as I just shared with you, that it's like, God, what is going on here? What is this? I don't want this. This is not Christ-like, and that means you don't want it. And Lord, I need the solution on how to get rid of this. And immediately that thing just lifted up, and it was gone. And I'm laughing and playing, and just like I would do any other time. Saints, it's important that we come to Jesus Christ honestly. Honestly. What that means, you know, there's a lot to it, really. When we come to Jesus, we want to come as though we were equals. We're not. We're not equal to him. It's nothing but his grace and goodness and kindness that allows us to approach. He's the great king. Get this. He spoke the word and it stood fast. The universe just stood fast 19 billion light years in span. And so when we come to him, we're not equals, but he's willing as a father to let you sit and we can have a dialogue. We can talk. Tell me what's on your mind. Are you laboring with something? Are you heavy burdened with something? Give that thing to Jesus. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A yoke is that you put on an ox to control the strength of that ox. He's saying you voluntarily take my yoke and put it upon you. Here's what a yoke does. A yoke takes the strength of two ox and unites them so they're strongly together. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. One end is on his neck. You put the other end on your neck. And all of your weaknesses, he'll help you. He'll carry you through those things. Saints, it's so important. It's so important to come to Jesus. I got down here now. I don't know if I want to walk all the way around. It's so important to come to Jesus. The scripture says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted into all points like unto a man. You have an advocate before the Father. And so the scripture says, come boldly. The word boldly means come with confidence. Yes, we're not his equal, but he's given us open access to come into his presence whenever we want to. Catch this picture of heaven. You have the Lord sitting in his multicolored throne. You have the four living creatures before the throne crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They cease not, night and day, that's all they do. You have 24 elders sitting around the throne, and God is supreme over his creation. But at any time, one of his babies can come running in, Father, I've got a problem. And heaven stops as God deals with that individual. We have a privilege. I don't know whether Michael and Gabriel can come in at any time. I don't know whether the angelic host God has to assemble them. But you and I, we don't necessarily have to assemble. You can individually, boldly come to the very throne of grace to cry out for help and mercy. You know, one of the big things is when something happens like that, don't blame that on somebody else. You know, in my case, and I used to do this, just not knowing any better. But as I said, I've grown a little bit, and I feel that agitation on the inside. And my wife says something, I don't have to bark at her and say, you shouldn't have said that. I got a rock in my shoe. Don't talk to me when I got a rock in my shoe. And come up with some crazy excuse. No. I renew. That's not her. This is all me. I got to deal with this. This is between me and Jesus. And I don't have to get her involved in this. John writes in chapter 3 of his commentary, this is the condemnation. He first in verse 18 or 17, he says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But in verse 19, he says, but this is what the condemnation is. That light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He's saying that people will not come to Jesus, the light of the world, will not come to him because they don't want their deeds to be revealed and reproved. I don't care what the Lord has to say to me. I don't care how he has to fix it. I just want these things gone. I just want an unhindered experience before the Lord. I want to be able to be exceeding kind and gracious in every situation. Not just in the pastoral role. Not just when I'm having a good day around my family. When I pass this earth, I want the people closest to me to say, that's an example of what Christ can do in a life. But we don't get there if we allow these barriers to be between us where we've not come honestly to him and share the fault, the moral rot that's in our lives if we never share that. And again, I'm not talking about dope smoking and all the big sins of the flesh. I'm not dealing with that. I think most people here are not dealing with that. Some few of you may be. I'm talking about the attitude. We feed off of the culture and it just puts a satanic attitude in us. I mean, I look at young men and young women now who are single and they're looking for a life partner, but the people are so toxic. I listen to their conversation on Instagram and I'm like, oh my God, who in the world would want to be with you? I mean, sometimes I'll post, but run. This is not the one, run. But you and I, if we would just come to Jesus Christ, because what they are, we have some of that in us too. We just have to be honest. As a matter of fact, the day you got saved, you had all that in you. And anything that's not in you right now, it's because Jesus took it out. Otherwise, it's not in you. And see, this is what we see a lot of times. The people will get married and they got their little thing, the little brokenness and everything, but they won't work on themselves. And sooner or later, she's going to get tired of that mess. Sooner or later, he's going to say, that's it. I'm not putting up with that no more. And it may take 10 years and you see a divorce. I saw, I was at the dentist. The lady was, man, she was old. I was surprised she was still working. She said, yeah, I just got divorced. And I didn't say anything. I'd be out of order. But I'm like, okay, you got to be close to 70. You know, I've been together all these years and you get divorced at 70? And then later in the conversation, she said, yeah, I was talking to my ex last night. Why didn't you just stay with your ex if y'all are still talking? But we get this stuff on the inside and it clogs up every avenue of life and it makes our experience less than it should be. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we just thank you for your goodness today. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the great invitation, Lord, that you gave not only to the sinning world around us, but Lord, you gave it to the Christian who is struggling with themselves. The Christian who's living in an activity that does not rise to the level of their maturity. Father, we come to you today. We ask you, Lord, that in your grace and in your mercy that you would help us. Come on, right where you're seated this morning, why don't you just lift your hand to heaven? Just lift your hands to heaven right there and say, God, I've got some things going on in my life and in my heart that, Lord, I need you to help me with. I don't forever want to be the provocateur. I don't want to forever be the one that there's confusion everywhere that I go. God, I ask you that you'd help me right now. Come on, you pray for yourself. You know what's going on. Say, God, right now in Jesus' name, I've got to have help. I need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Continue to just reach out. Continue to ask the Lord to just press upon your heart, to prick out those little things, the attitudes of our heart, Lord. The way that we can be so ungodly in one moment. Prick our hearts, Lord. Continue to direct us and guide us in the way that we should go. Have mercy on us, Jesus. We ask for your forgiveness today, Lord. We ask for you to change us, to come into our heart, Lord, and make us more and more and more like you. We need you, Lord. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you everybody for being out this morning. I do have some announcements for you. If you haven't had a chance to give for the well for Pakistan, please do so. Like Pastor was saying, you can put it on an envelope and be sure to write well on it or give on the kiosk in the back. Also, I want to let you know that we have some free material out on the table. So grab as many as you like, some for yourself and some to give out to others. We want to also thank our webcast for joining us this morning. I want to let you all know that we thank you again for being here and you are dismissed.